ladies and gentlemen, for the handful in attendance and the millions listening on the web on skidrow.la, this is Mad Time Radio.
Everybody, welcome back to Mad Time Radio, coming at you from the Skid Row Studios Ultra Mega Complex in downtown Los Angeles. We are your hosts. I'm Rich. We got Crail here.
Yes, sir.
And Crail, who do we have in studio?
Why your voice sounding all sexy over there?
It's this mic, man. I'm trying not to be all up on it, but
just get up on.
I don't want it to pop off in here.
We're over here,
Jeremy. Pop.
Skid Row Studios.
Yo.
What's going on over here?
What's that? Uh-oh, the choppers are coming. The choppers.
Evacuate.
Ghetto bird.
That's all right. Queen is dead. We got...
Oh, okay.
It's getting too hot up in her.
All right, Carl. So who do we have in studio today?
Hey, man, we got... wait a minute. We got one guy here from Huntington Beach Ultimate Training Center. Up-and-coming fighter, Adam Tuo. Say what's up, Adam.
What's going on, guys? How's it going?
Good.
See, look at Adam's voice. Sounds all sexy.
Yeah, I know.
Gotta take our job, dude.
We're gonna have to rename the show or something. Yeah. You know, Sexy Time Radio or something. Sexy Time on the Mat.
All right, dude. That's a little... All right. You're killing it, dude.
Easy. Studio audience is always...
Hold on, dude. Oh, all right, man. I forgot.
We're always late. Right there. Come on, people.
Oh, dude.
Killing me
over there.
Oh, man. Okay. Wow.
All right.
We tried.
Oh, there it is. There it is. Hold on.
Well, there's the rest of them. Are they laughing at us or are they laughing with us? Oh, the ladies. Wow, you would think it's the Beatles in house or something.
That's for Adam, dude. He's in house.
That was the extended mix right there.
All right, man. So I guess you're out here representing Huntington Beach Ultimate Training Center.
Yes, I am.
How's it going over there?
You know, things are going well. The camp's starting to wind down for a lot of our lower, like, circuit pros.
Okay.
And then, of course, we've got Paul Kelly was just in there doing his camp for the Super Fight League in India.
Okay.
He just fought out there against Ryan Healy. Pat Healy's little brother.
How do you do?
He lost unanimous decision out there.
You know how we say it in Spanish? Tough. No bueno.
Yes, no bueno.
No bueno.
No bueno.
I love the accent.
Absolutely.
Yeah. From that school, tell us a little bit about, you know, so far, you know our history on the school.
Maybe we can get a little bit of background on Adam, and then we can talk about school.
Yeah, let's do that. Because I know we have that school, just, you know, before we get into that, I mean, it has a lot of history.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely does.
So tell us about your part and how you got involved.
Basically, I became a fan of MMA in itself, you know, the disciplines by themselves. And then one day I finally just said, I'm going to try this out. You know, I got to start training. I wrestled in high school, so I was like, yeah, it can't be too bad.
So you started, like, a lot of guys start in the beginning where they have a wrestling base?
Exactly, with a wrestling base. And then I showed up to this place called Black Mat MMA in Whittier.
Okay.
It was out of a garage, actually, when I first started. Coach Philip Kuhn was there. It's evolved so much now. You know, one of the Camo 175-pound fighters just won the state championship out of that gym.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's where I started. So, you know, he gave me basically all my foundation there. And
so
then,
Black Mat is actually, that's the one that they do a lot of nonprofit work. They work with a lot of children,
nonprofit
right?
work. We work with the at-risk kids, definitely. And it was great, you know, being a fighter and one of the top guys there, because, you know, you get to help out a lot of the kids and stuff. So that was cool. But at the same time, you know, you did get some good training. You know, George Valdez helped a lot with our striking.
Oh, yeah. Friend of the show, George Valdez. Yeah.
Awesome guy.
He just moved. I think he moved his gym closer to where that Black Mat is now, too.
From what I understand, he closed the one in Bellflower and made the one in Whittier bigger.
Oh, is that what he did?
Yeah. We just passed by the new gym. Uh-huh. Yeah, he did close the one next to the donut shop, and he moved it down the street closer to Black Mat. So he did change spaces.
Okay.
And, it is bigger, though. The new place is bigger.
Oh, okay, it is bigger.
It was only like a mile away off Washington, if I remember. Yeah. So now it's closer.
I know he likes to be really close to Black Mat so he can get his time in with the kids and
absolutely.
Actually,
he cornered me on my first fight. You know, he trained me the whole way up. So, you know, he was great, great guy.
And who else did you train with while you were over there?
At Black Mat, it wasn't really, you know, any big names. Brandon Wilson, like I just said, just won the 175-pound Camo State Championship. Mm-hmm. We did get a lot of, you know, celebrity names come through there. Mark Munoz just stopped by the other day. George St. Pierre, Kimbo Slice, you know, Boss Rudin, actually. I've trained Boss Rudin with a lot. He's been in and out of there. All of the instructors are actually certified Boss Rudin instructors. So, you know, he comes through often. He's a big
supporter. I always see him promoting it on his...
Inside MMA.
Yeah, Inside MMA show.
Yeah, he always gives a shout out.
He's always going by there with his little videos and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And then sometimes we go up to his gym to train there, too.
Which one?
At Thousand Oaks, I believe. Or
right on the valley out there.
Yeah,
okay.
It's been a long time since he's been in Beverly Hills, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I still love, every time I think about it, I still think of all those bar fight videos.
Exactly.
But dude, on our last show, they were talking about how, you know, King of the Cage was like, first started out, Boss Rudin. Yeah. Well, it was supposed to be, it was called Boss Rudin's King of the Cage.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
So kind of funny, right?
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, a lot of people thought that logo of the guy on the belt was him, but actually they talked about it was some other guy.
Yeah. Really?
Forget the name. Yeah, it was one of the main guy's friend. Oh, and then the guy just got a little carried away with cash flow or something, wanted more money for his logo.
Oh, wow.
So they just canned him.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then in the beginning, a lot of people, I thought myself too, I thought it was Boz on that. When you look at it, because it kind of looks like Boz, you know?
It looks like Boz. He actually does that all the time too, so, you know, you figure it's him.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. And so you were at Black Mat.
Right.
And then at what point did you make the transition to HP Ultimate?
After my first fight in July, you know, I won. I took a decision win. But I just felt that if I wanted to perform at the level where I felt comfortable at, I needed to up my training. You know, I had never sparred or rolled with a heavyweight at Black Mat. And fighting a super heavyweight, it was like a culture shock for me. I had, you know, feeling all that pressure from a 300-pound guy.
Wait, I mean, you're not a little dude either, right? I mean,
I'm
not
a little dude.
What are you, 5'7"? How tall are you?
I'm actually 6'8", 255.
6'8", 255.
Yeah, so, but when you fight someone who's 300 pounds, when you're used to grappling with guys who are 205 at the most, it's a big difference, especially when they have a top game on you. You know, it's kind of like the traditional sweeps you would do on a smaller guy are a little harder, and they just don't work out so well.
I see. That's your first fight. These are, you have two fights, right?
Yes.
And they're both amateur fights.
Yes.
Okay, so I think the first one, was that a Commerce Casino?
Yeah, the first one was actually a camo fight at the Commerce Casino. The second one's what they're calling professional pancration now.
Okay.
Where it's basically MMA with point scoring, like a traditional jiu-jitsu match or a karate or taekwondo match.
Okay.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So still two-minute rounds?
Three 2-minute rounds.
Three 2-minute rounds. Yeah. That's absolutely quick, man.
Yeah, no, the 2-minute rounds fly, you know, and then at practice we do 3 or 5 minute rounds depending on who's training or, you know, what fight we have coming up.
Well, at least it's 3 rounds because I remember, wasn't some of the King of the Cage like 2 rounds, something crazy like that?
What are they?
Yeah, I think a few of them. Like,
really?
Yeah.
But they're really short too, just like that. So they go by, but you know, back in the day the people would just come out swinging.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of hard to set your jab up and find your range.
Yeah, that's why a camo is, it's pretty difficult. The aggressive fighter will pretty much always win in camo because of the time restriction. You know, a guy who takes a while to get underway, rounds over before you can set a rhythm.
Yeah, in a fight like that, you really can't wait for the guy to gas himself out.
Yeah, exactly. It probably won't happen unless you're in like the third round in deep water.
Yeah.
It's probably the only time.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
And from there, when you transferred over to HP Ultimate, where did you feel that there were some of the, you know, the biggest differences, like stepping up to a bigger gym like that? Besides, you know, the quality of training, was it a better facility or?
I think actually,
wise?
Yeah, I'm not just saying this because I train there, but I think Huntington Beach Ultimate Training Center has probably one of the nicer facilities in Southern California that I've seen. You know, I've trained at a few different ones or just visited and been, you know, to different gyms. And it's just all the stuff they have there is like super nice. The layout, I guess it's like state of the art for MMA facilities. It's just everything's different. You know, it's a different feel.
Well, I mean, I guess they cater to a lot of professional fighters, right? So they're going to have to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And then as Rich mentioned earlier, the history that HP has, you know, you kind of almost have to have that, you know, precedent of who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, being in the business for so long, yeah, they're going to be stepping up to the latest and, you know, greatest. And now in your training regimen, what more did you add to it? Did you add like a strength and conditioning or what else did you add to your game when you got there?
Strength and conditioning is actually something that at Huntington Beach Ultimate, I kind of had to do on my own or with some of the pro fighters, whereas at Black Mat, I kind of had the coaches doing it for me or training me in that sense. So that's something that was a change for me, because now as a you have a lot of professional fighters there or very high-level amateurs who, you know, they leave their how they do in the fight up to themselves. They no longer have someone holding their hand, you know, which is what I think was a big step for me. Leaving Black Mat, you know, we only had 2, 3, 4 fighters maybe there. So for the coaches to keep an eye on all four was easy. Mm-hmm. At HB Ultimate, you've got maybe 8, 9, 10 fighters and they're all high level. So no one's holding your hand anymore. It's a big difference.
They always say, I guess it's what you do off the mat that really absolutely. Will win you what you do on the mat, right? So you have to do your own cardio, your own strength and conditioning. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Krell is one of those guys. You know, he does his stuff outside of a lot of times outside of the gym. And even in our own gym, looking at the guys that are, you know, on a different level most of the time,
right.
When it comes time to make weight and things like that, they know what they got to do and they kind of do their own thing and they show up on weight and,
right.
You know, they're not always doing their strength and conditioning there with the team and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's how it is for us, you know. Either before or after practice, you have a group of 3 or 4 guys getting together and you go run that huge block on Beach Boulevard. It's like 2.5 miles, you know, and that's just a warm up. And then afterwards.
Is that a good place to run with all that carbon monoxide, dude? mean, go run on the beach, dude.
Yeah. I mean, so there's always sand sprints, you know, every day after practice, you have a couple guys, especially at this, for some reason, the spring and summer, you get guys fighting like crazy. You know, you have next month, we have at least 4 guys fighting. So, you know, it's,
it seems like summer is a big time for just tournaments and fights and everything,
absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, even
probably because people are on break
I think myself personally, I'm more motivated to train in the summer. I like the hot weather better,
right?
So I like to get, you know, more workouts in during the summertime.
Yeah, absolutely. And then it's just the fact that it's the summer. People have a different attitude, a different feeling in the summer. You know, they want to be out there having fun, competing.
Yeah, true. And from your wrestling days. Were you doing a lot of the tournaments and things like that coming up, or did you kind of stick to meets at school?
Actually, we did a few tournaments. I went to Pioneer High School in Whittier, mm-hmm. and we did a few tournaments at like Lakewood High School. We did the Halloween Open, you know, just a lot of one in Roosevelt, you know, just random tournaments.
Just local stuff.
Yeah, local stuff. And then one of our wrestlers who had graduated a couple years before was wrestling at Cerritos and then another one at Rio Hondo.
Mm-hmm.
So we were going to clinics left and right because we had that connection there. So, you know, it was great working with them.
And working with the people at HB Ultimate, what do you feel is their core as far as the training? Do you feel that they're kind of leading more towards the grappling side, or are they a lot of strikers? Or
We have 2 coaches that kind of, you know, take control of practice, and one would be Tiki Gazin. He's definitely more striking oriented, and you know, he's great at what he does. He's an ex-UFC fighter. He's definitely a striker. And then Brady Fink, he's also, you know, a great striker, but like you said, he's a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt. Mm-hmm. So he definitely has, you know, a great ground regiment that we work with from him.
You guys train gi or no gi over there?
Well, during pro class, it's no gi.
It's all MMA related.
Yeah, all MMA related, yeah.
Ever train with a gi?
I have trained with a gi. It's a whole new world for me. I'm not
gonna lie. G and a gi?
Yeah, G and a gi.
Yeah.
It's gonna be your new walking music, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
You gotta come in Gracie style with the gi on.
Yeah. No, gi is a whole new world out there. You know, a lot of people don't have respect for gi if they're in MMA or, you know, vice versa. But once you throw a gi on, it's a whole new world. You're getting choked out from something you had no idea, you know, was there.
Yeah, we kind of feel, you know, One game helps the other.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
When you get that gi off, you know, it definitely helps. And, you know, it's good for, I guess it's a good balance, you know?
No, yeah, absolutely.
It's different.
Yeah, it's definitely different. Yeah. But I feel, you know, if you learn it in the gi, no gi is easier for you.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, just adjust your grips and...
Yeah, absolutely. You get a lot of hand strength off grabbing gi, you know, stuff like that, I think. As opposed to no gi.
Yeah, I know some of us work that grip strength, you know.
Yeah.
We do stuff like hanging from jungle gyms with lapels.
Yeah, this guy's mad at me.
You know.
Yeah. I do pull-ups with ropes and stuff. You ever do that?
No.
This guy's got a cut lapel, and he like hangs from a jungle gym, and he does like pull-ups. Like,
that's why I got a gorilla for a logo, because I got a gorilla grip.
Got it.
Yeah, I wish I could do that.
you could, man. You can too.
Yeah.
$19.99. I'll send you 2 lapels.
Oh, wow. What a deal. Just because I have a lapel doesn't mean I can be able to do them pull-ups.
Yeah, you try, man.
Yeah, I tried.
Yeah.
So you like training over there, and that's good? Everything's good?
Yeah, you know, everything's good over there. I like it. It's, like I said, it's a step up in competition for me.
Yeah. How about the journey of being an amateur fighter and coming up, man? How's that?
You know, right now I'm having fun with it. I get a lot of, you know, people asking me like, oh, you know, so how much did you get paid, or, you know, this and that. But a lot of guys take it way too serious. I know guys who are amateurs that have families already, and they're fighting, you know, to feed their family or
wow.
you know, stuff like that. And that's a whole lot of added pressure on the fighter, you know, to perform.
Caged.
And to, like, get fights. Yeah, it's like caged.
That's messed up, dude. That's messed up.
I'm sorry, we slam that show every time we get, but...
That's just...
they put themselves out there.
No, yeah,
you know.
No, they definitely do. But like I said, I'm having fun with it right now.
Like that one dude that broke his hand and he didn't want to go to the doctor?
Oh, yeah. It don't got
to be... Not you, dude. Not you.
No, not me. Yeah,
it got to be pretty. It's got to make a fist.
That's what he said. Yeah, you didn't see that one?
No, I didn't see that
one. So the dude broke his hand, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I don't even think it was training. I think it was just like messing around with his buddies. And he goes to the doctor, and the doctor takes an x-ray, and he goes, it's broken. And he goes, I don't want to cast or nothing. It don't have to be pretty. I just want to be able to make a fist. But like totally got a crack in it. So. Oh, longevity is short-lived on that one.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, aren't there pre-fight physicals in cage?
I'm pretty sure.
Out there,
yeah.
I don't know, man. It's probably not a sanctioned bout in Kentucky, dude.
Yeah, out here in Camo, they definitely do.
Well, California's a little.
Yeah, they're definitely. Yeah. You know, everything is getting monitored crazy.
Well, then they got that new law they're trying to pass.
For who? For Camo?
No. State of California is trying to pass a law saying that if the venue can't extort a fighter, like they can't, you know how the UFC contracts say you can't fight anywhere else in the universe but the UFC?
Yeah.
So they're saying that that's, since you're a contracted employee with a fight company, you should be able to fight anywhere you can get money.
Oh, okay.
So the state of California is trying to pass that. It might be good for the fighters. I don't know. I haven't read the whole thing. I just seen it in the paper the other day.
Yeah, I mean, I think as an amateur, it kind of sucked to be restricted to one area, you know?
Yeah. But even when you make it pro, though, you know?
No, yeah, absolutely. As a pro, I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
To bounce around like that.
So you find fights coming at you easy? A lot of guys coming at you want to fight and stuff? Like, Or do you turn them down because there's no money or too quick or what? I mean,
I don't really mind about, you know, money or no money type of thing. Like I said, I like to have, I fight because it's fun for me. You know,
right.
I like to have fun and stuff. But just recently, I got into the mindset of being prepared all the time.
Yeah.
Because before, like, I would fight and then just get super lazy with training. You know, I would show up, but it was nothing serious, you know, just to show up, I guess.
Right.
It would be.
You want to be kind of, you know, close at least to be ready.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, camo fights don't pay though, right?
Camo fights don't, but if
that's,
you get
that's an the, you're not supposed to get paid as an amateur.
As an amateur, technically, if you get paid to fight, you're a professional.
Okay.
That's what distinguishes, you know, a pro from an amateur. But if you get with a certain promoter, he might dish you off money off ticket sales or however that works.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know some that pay just off no ticket sales.
But that's a good mindset to be, you know, at least close to being fight ready or closer.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, when they're looking for fighters and you can step up if you want to, you know.
Right,
you want to put some more...
Well, you cutting down weight class or something? Or because I mean, you're what, 255?
I'm 255 right now, and I've actually slowly started dropping. So I'm probably going to end up as a professional at 205. It's probably what it's looking like right now.
Wow, it's a big cut, man.
Yeah, it's a big cut, but, you know, I just, the way the UFC heavyweight division or just any heavyweight division is looking at right now, it's these guys are huge, huge, huge guys, you know.
You're going to be a hungry 6'8" looking dude, man.
Yeah, no, I totally, I understand. But, you know, you start looking at the 205 division, especially with, like, Gustafson now and John Jones. They're all taller, leaner fighters than they were in the past with, like, Tito Ortiz. He's actually kind of tall, but, you know, he's got a lot of muscle mass on him.
And a big head.
Yeah.
doesn't he train there with you guys? Or how?
Actually got his own gym across city at off of Edinger. We're off of Beach, so.
Because you know, even on your website, well, not your website, but
right.
HB Ultimate, as you guys call it. The website says, you know, like Tito Ortiz, Team Punishment. Right. So I don't know what the, you know, at some point, did they work together? Or?
Yeah, I think he's always going to be a longtime affiliate of the gym, you know, because back in the day, it was like Tito, Mayhem Miller, Rampage Jackson, Tiki Gazin. All these guys are basically the pioneers of the Huntington Beach MMA scene. So I think regardless of where you go, that's going to stick with Tito, him being affiliated with Huntington Beach Ultimate. And Rico Rodriguez, too, actually.
Don't forget Tank Abbott.
And Tank Abbott. Forgot about him. Old school, yeah.
Well, that's how much the fight games change. You don't see guys like... I mean, you see Roy Nelson that way, but people are just
he's making a change, too.
Oh, so. He has to, yeah, right?
Well, after the last couple of beatings he's taken...
Yeah, he's just... I mean, he's always going to come forward, but...
He's going to end up like Cabbage. Cabbage, right? Yeah, you take like 4 or 5 punches in the face.
Yeah. Cabbage just knocks out. He gets knocked out on his feet sometimes. You know, he's standing there. Stop the fight.
Whatever happened to him?
Yeah, I think he's still fighting Rumble on the Rock.
Oh, he is?
Really?
Yeah. I think he's still fighting
Rumble on the Rock. That's BJ Penn's boy, I think.
Is it really?
Yeah, he's Hawaiian.
I know he's Hawaiian. I know where he trained at.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure just like Kendall Grove is over there too.
Yeah, he moved back after the UFC cut him because he was living in Vegas. I don't know where he was. Was he training at Extreme Couture? Do you know?
I don't know.
I don't remember exactly where, but I know he's, same thing. He's back.
Yeah.
He's back in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of messed up though, man. Seems like it's the big show when they cut you, man. It's like.
Yeah. I was reading an article about him, about that whole situation. He said, you know, they cut him, but he was living like a crazy life in Vegas. You know, he was a celebrity there.
Yeah.
So it took the best out of him.
But I think that happens to a lot of people in a lot of different industries, you know, where you just think you're invincible and your fame, you know, obviously you got to milk it for what you can, but you got to make sure you save your money.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, think about it. The longevity of a fighter is only so long. The days are like
super short.
There's not going to be Randy Couture's. There's not going to be 1,000 Randy Couture's.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, that guy's just an odd breed. How old was he? 47?
47, yeah. He was
ripped though, right?
Yeah, super ripped still.
Yeah, but it gets to a point where, you know, they shouldn't be fighting anymore.
No,
you know,
absolutely.
Guys like Dan Severn and stuff, they're still trying to get a license and everything. Yeah. And
is he still?
The last I heard, maybe about a year ago, he was still trying to fight to get another, you know.
Wow.
And they couldn't find anything wrong with him, but still, at that age.
No, I understand. Also, you know, Antonio McKee, he's older already for an MMA fighter, but he's still winning. You know, he's not fighting anybody tough in that circuit that he's in, but, you know, still, he's an older fighter.
Yeah, we had a couple guys in here that train with him on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's out there at the Body Shop, I think.
Body Shop, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Lakewood or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not too bad. And
yeah. So you got any other fights coming up?
I had a couple tentatively scheduled ones, but, you know, this injury I'm trying to overcome at the moment, just, you know, it's prolonging me longer than I expected.
Yeah. Training. So you're training what? 2 times a day, once a day, once every other day? Well, I mean, what's your schedule like?
Right now, since I don't have a fight lined up, I'm just training twice a week, but I still hit the gym, you know, 5 days a week.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, but I'm training at the gym twice a week. But closer to fight time, I'm in there 3-4 times a week.
So you find yourself being pretty tall compared to everybody else you're fighting?
Surprisingly, I was the tallest person until I went to Huntington Beach Ultimate, and there's a fellow heavyweight there who's about 6'7".
But you're still taller than him. Do the math, buddy.
Yeah. No, I've got about an inch on the guy, but I mean, you know, that I've never fought anybody.
Did you fight?
Close.
How's that sparring with a guy your same size, though?
Completely different. It takes your initial game plan out the window. You know, I used the reach game. Uh-huh. It's gone now. Now you have to turn into getting inside the guy, which is something that's totally new to you as a tall fighter.
So how was that, though? Is that something that you work on, or
it's something that I've been working on, especially sparring him? You know, he's not easy. He was a professional boxer first,
okay.
So his hands are, you know, off the charts. It's been hard, but, you know, it's going to make me better.
Wow, guys, I just had to look up Dan Severn here. I just had to do it. Last
dude,
fight
is that
was
his picture, dude? Really?
Last fight was last May.
Too bad.
And he lost. He's 53 years old. Ooh. And he lost his last two.
So what if that's your dad, though? That's kind of cool, right?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, but if it was my dad, I wouldn't be letting him getting back in the cage.
Why not, dude? You take him to, like, parent-teacher conference and stuff?
Right.
Yeah, but, I mean, poor guy, you know?
What's his record?
His record? What is it? Oh, 60 submissions? No, I can't be. Wait a minute.
Hey, I wonder if she can put it up on the screen.
100 wins and 18 losses.
Oh, wow.
Hey, see if she can put it on the screen.
Hey, Cindy, you can put that up on the screen? What we got here, the Sure Dog guy.
Oh, hold on, we're...
Maybe.
Maybe not. All right.
Yeah, we just want you to see this.
We just want to try to show off technology in here, but...
I know. We have this big old TV right there.
What are you looking for there, Richard?
For this Sure Dog, this open window I have.
Okay. You want to put it up on their screen?
Yeah,
okay.
up on the...
Yeah, no problem. Give me a second.
Yeah, this... But wow, 100 wins.
100 wins, that's a lot of fights.
I can't think of anyone else that's like close. I mean,
but maybe, he had a lot of those are Indian reservations and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Yeah, well, it was the one before the last one was King of the Cage.
That picture is not flattering, dude. I don't have good vision. Oh, even when it comes up here, you'll see it, man. But
yeah, but that's
all pretty. Right, here we go. There we go. Look at that, dude.
Look at that.
Oh, nice.
18 losses. That's not a bad record, though, man.
That's
not a bad record at all.
For 6'2", 253 though, it's a little on the plumpy side.
Yeah, but he's 60 submissions.
We Jesus. We need to get him some Meals on Wheels though. Look at that. Look. Dude, but that's a good record though.
Yeah.
All right, but then again, it's like, who did he fight? And you know what I mean? Like,
wow.
Yeah.
I think probably, you know, back in the time, the guys that stood out like that, that had like crazy, like big records, like Jeremy Horn.
Right. You know, and Matt Hughes had a big record at the time. I think it was like 40 wins or something like that.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Around there.
It's a lot of fights though.
Yeah, that's a lot
and he, fights. And you know, Matt Hughes is taking some good fights.
He has been, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he just fought Kostic last.
Yeah, but he got annihilated.
Yeah,
dude.
I agree. He's got one more fight I think he's thinking of taking.
I don't know who he wants to fight,
I
though.
I think I heard he wanted to fight Hoyce again.
Really?
No, they're not going to bring Hoyce back. You know Hoyce made $1 million on that fight?
Really?
Yeah.
That's what sent him home?
Yeah, I think Hoyce wanted to fight him again, though. I think
of
Hoyce was
he
calling
did.
Him out.
$2 million, man.
Well, he's been beating a bunch of submission, you know, specialists. Didn't he fight Almeida or somebody last?
That's right.
He choked him out.
Dude, that was wicked too, yeah. Right?
It was
put
like
him
a front headlock choke or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, Matt Hughes?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's used that front headlock a couple times.
No, but Almeida is supposed to be like submission specialist,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
Submission specialist.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's actually, is it Frankie Edgar's submission coach? Almeida?
I thought Almeida, because he retired and then opened up his own gym, right? So
right.
I don't think so. But I don't know, man.
I know. Wasn't Almeida just like recently in Abu Dhabi too?
I don't think he competes anymore.
Oh no! Or
I think he was focused on his. He was saying he was focused on his family and his gym or something like that.
It must have been another Almeida, but you know.
Oh, okay, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then what do we have? We had Abu Dhabi just going on too now.
Yeah. Well, they just passed. You see any of those Abu Dhabi fights?
No, I didn't.
No,
I didn't catch.
What are you watching at home?
Super Fight League stuff. Just been watching.
Sounds like a comic book.
Strike Force.
You been watching The Ultimate Fighter?
I have been watching
on Fridays.
Ultimate Fighter, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not too bad.
I TiVo.
I like the Brazilian one's actually a lot funner to watch.
Yeah, they stream that one, right?
Or yeah, they stream it on Sundays.
Oh, Sunday okay.
Yeah. Oh, the one in Brazil's already on?
Yeah, it's on concurrently, I believe.
It's like the fourth episode coming on tonight, I think.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It shows how behind I am.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I've been watching the UFC one, but I just TiVo and I just go to the end of the fight.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Well, then what was the whole point of doing it live?
The fights are live.
I know. What's the whole point?
They're live fights.
Yeah, the fight is live,
yeah.
But in between, like, the fight, they show you the preparation.
Like the whole normal week.
And that. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So like let's say today through, you know, Thursday is all the recording stuff. They'll edit it and then they put it on Friday night.
All the knucklehead stuff they do in the house.
Yeah, but the actual fight is live, which
it's kind of
cool, right?
Yeah, are they still doing all that crazy stuff they were doing before, you know?
Like breaking doors and
doors. And
I think they've mellowed out a little bit because season one and two were bad.
Well, season one, I think that's really the show that put the UFC
put
on the
map,
right?
By far,
but you know, you had two great guys fighting, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Well, you had a lot of great guys come out those first few seasons.
Yeah,
like almost all the guys that are like, you know, champs or close to it.
Except every time I think of Forrest Griffin, I just remember him getting knocked out by Silva. Running, dude.
Yeah,
that's
my. Well, what about Chris Leben knocking down a door and he's like crying when he lost his fight? He's crying.
Exactly, Chris Leben was on that one. Kostic was on that one.
Diego Sanchez out and doing Tai Chi out in the rain. Yeah. All.
Yes.
Yes, cartwheels.
Yeah. You know,
he's funny. He went through a bad thing too, man.
Yeah, he did. I think he's dropping another. He's going back to his old weight class now.
Which was 55
he's
again?
He's going back to 55. He's leaving 70s.
Remember, he won the Ultimate Fighter 70s.
Yeah, he won it at 70. He just fought at 70s versus, I don't remember. Who was
I think
it?
He did better at 70s, didn't he?
I agree. Yeah. But I don't know. He's ferocious. Oh, he fought Ellenberger, actually.
Yeah, that guy's bad.
Yeah, he's bad. Yeah,
but it's like you were saying that the fighter pool now is so different than it was even a year ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you get these guys that are just, they got these guys 19 monsters.
Yeah, I feel like Rory McDonald. I think he's like 22, 23 years old.
Yeah, they're hyping him up a lot, though.
They're hyping him up because he's claiming to be, you know, George St. Pierre's prodigy or something like that. But the kid is good. You know, he made Nate Diaz look sloppy. You know, and he's a decent fighter.
Yeah, it's just, you know, that time window is so short, though.
Right, I agree.
You know?
Yeah, I agree. Because, you know, a year could pass. Or just now, I'm at Adrenaline MMA. I go train there on Tuesday nights. They have kids MMA and kids BJJ classes. And just watching those kids go at it, you know, you think, oh, I'm almost glad I'm 20 years older than these kids. Because by the time they're pros, you know, nobody's going to want to fight these guys.
Yeah, that's true.
They're doing high-level stuff already. You know, these guys are... and they're hitting each other. There's, you know, you think, oh, kids, you know.
See, I don't know how I feel about that, man. I got
like those two little kids in the tap out commercial.
The tap out commercial, yeah. It looks like a beast on the pads, you know.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
how it is.
Those little kids.
I don't know, dude. I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think if the kid you know, has a genuine interest, as long as there's not, you know, forced, yeah. a parent pushing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because just even we had actually taken it was a while back, but we took one of George Valdez's guys out to the Marconi for a Muay Thai fight.
Uh-huh.
And he fought some kid over there, and you could tell the kid didn't want to fight.
Right.
You know, he was taking leg kicks and the way he was covering up, but his father was just yelling at him, you know, keep going.
Yeah.
And, you know, George said, he's like, you know what? I want to go over there and kick the father, you know, because you don't put your kid in there.
But you see that everywhere. You see that in every sport.
You see that in football. You see that see it in any sport. It's just unfortunate that in this sport, your son can get seriously injured.
Exactly.
You can get injured in football too.
Injured in football, but you catch a head kick and get cut, you know, or
there's nasty leg kicks and you know, he's taking him to his legs and you can just see him. He's like already covering up in the corner and it's like, you know, enough is enough, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's a huge part of fighting being mental, you know, that's definitely true. So if you're not in it whatsoever, you know, you're gonna leave being hurt, you know, and that's something everyone tries to avoid.
Yeah.
Hey, so speaking of getting hurt, what do you do when you train to prevent from getting hurt?
It's more of the train smarter, not harder strategy now, because before it was always like intensity. That's kind of how, even in high school with wrestling and stuff, it was always about the intensity.
Yeah, that's wrestling and, you know.
That's wrestling. And actually, Coach Buzzard, isn't he?
Yeah.
New Breed?
Yeah, he helped us out for a while.
Yeah, he helped us out for a while. I was real good friends with Coach Yusugi at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Jason, beast.
Yeah, so he showed us a lot of, you know, up top throws, like Greco stuff.
Yeah.
So it was great having him around. But like I said, they were always about the intensity. And now MMA is just as intense, but you have to pay attention to all the pivoting and all the strain on your knees. And even, you know, in just BJJ alone, your ligaments are taking a toll, you know. And then some guys don't like to tap, or they wait to see how long the arm can bend before they tap. So, you know, now it's just like, especially with leg locks, a lot of guys don't understand that there's just a fine line.
Leg locks, ankle locks.
No, knee bars.
Yeah, like even knee
toe
bars.
Toe holds.
Toe holds, any kind of, you know.
Oh, I feel you. I torqued my knee last week and I'm still feeling it. Just a simple knee slice.
Right, yeah.
And just getting my ankle caught right at the end and just a little torque and, you know.
That's how it is. Or even like omoplatas. A lot of guys don't know that they're in one till the guy's already cranking on it, you know, and it's too late.
Oh, come on. You got to know you're in an omoplata when your face is on the mat.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but some guys who are inexperienced feel that it's a 50-50 position at that point up until the guy, you know, starts to scoot up.
And you're talking about with no-gi too, right?
Yeah, with no-gi, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And that's, I mean, no-gi, if you have it and it's locked in, it's harder to get out of.
Oh, yeah.
I can see, it's true. If you leave yourself open, you can get reversal.
Right.
You know, yeah, at some point it's a 50-50.
Right.
Where they can just roll out and then catch him back in the omoplata.
Yeah.
Right. I've seen guys, you know, they'll roll out and, you know, they'll get a scramble or something. But, you know, it's some at train or when you're practicing, you know, taking that risk.
Yeah.
It's unless you and your partner are on the same page.
Which yeah, but you just never know, though. That's what I'm saying. Exactly. Like when you train, I mean, you can be going 50% and you playing your foot wrong and your knee goes out, right?
Yeah,
I mean, like. So do you guys wear headgear when you spar? Do you guys do a lot of that? Because I know... Yeah,
you know, you have to, you know, because especially in MMA, if you take a head kick, even with a shin pad, you're going to get a huge welt or even a cut.
Yeah.
You know, especially spinning back fists in a boxing glove actually doesn't have too much padding.
Right.
So you can get cut off of a spinning back fist.
Oh, because off you, right,
glove.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of things that people don't understand.
So I just... But that's just... Well, I know it's done to save a fighter, but, like, it's a little different getting hit, you know, with a glove, with no headgear on, than with a headgear and a glove, right?
And so far, how's it been with you in injuries? Has anything serious come up or?
Nothing serious. A lot of just small, you know, small nagging injuries that they start small.
Right.
And then they end up escalating at some point because of whatever reason, you know. But nothing super serious to the
Overtrain, right?
Yeah.
You do a lot of cardio?
A lot of cardio, especially now since I've been somewhat sidelined. That's all we've been doing.
And so you say you want to cut some weight too?
Yeah, I'm trying to cut weight, so we'll see how it goes. I mean, Camo has a cruiserweight division, which is a halfway point between light heavyweight and heavyweight.
Which is how much? What's the weight? What's the weight bracket?
235 there.
Okay.
So I figure, you know, if I can't, if 205 isn't looking good, I'll stop at 235 and work my way back up.
And what's the lightest you've been?
Right now, 255.
It is, okay.
That's definitely the lightest I've ever been.
Huh.
I was like 330 two, three years ago.
What'd you wrestle at in high school?
And high school was a heavyweight. And then after I graduated high school, I went to college, and then I was just inactive, you know, no football, no wrestling, no nothing. And then I've actually only been training for about 3 years. So that whole gap from 2006 to the point I started training, I wasn't doing anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, just kept eating, you know, all the bad stuff.
Probably getting some good cooking.
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, I was living in the dorms, so it was like Del Taco and all that stuff.
Top ramen diet.
Yeah.
Good. Del Taco's good. Del Taco sounds so good right now.
No, I'm still haven't tried one of those Dorito tacos yet from Taco Bell.
I saw those on TV, actually.
I'll have one next week after I weigh in.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, that's right. You're doing what? Copa, right?
Yeah.
Copa
Pacifica. I'm hungry over here.
What do you mean, dude? You had to cut like 3 pounds. He's like, oh, I'm really.
Hey, dude. 3 pounds
is a lot. Like, you know, you guys always don't weigh.
Yeah.
I make weight. I'm not a problem. It's not a problem making weight.
Some people, you know, I see them and.
You know what it is, though? We see it everywhere, too. I think it's everywhere. If you're going to decide to make a weight, and you can honestly do it, like you can look at your body and be like, all right, man, I got enough fat where I can lose it, or water weight, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And if you're dedicated to do it, you'll do it. If you don't, you're gonna find a way to cheat or
absolutely. No, I totally agree.
I know a bunch of people who lose to the scale, you know?
Yeah.
Right?
And then you see some guys, they can't handle cutting weight. They turn into, you know, it's the worst.
In my earlier days, you know, my white belt days, I did miss weight a couple of times, and after that, you know, when I said, you know what, this isn't going to happen again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I same thing. I had to do what I got to do to make weight and stuff.
Yeah,
I know what I
but it almost comes down to like, I mean, I get moody. Even when I used to wrestle and stuff in high school and college, I used to cut weight. You see, I'm moody, dude. I mean, like, I'm cutting like 20 pounds, right?
Yeah,
like, you're going to get moody. But like, you got to realize if you're going to go somewhere, no, you can't eat that, you know, that rice taco or whatever.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Rice taco.
I don't know. I'm just
he's inventing new dishes.
Yeah, so dude. You know?
Just carb dishes.
Yeah. You know, it's bad. Like, you're getting closer and you're driving. You're like, oh, man, I can smell that.
A taco made out of rice.
Who's eating Taco Bell? Man, I can smell it. That's bad because Taco Bell has no smell. You know, you go there and nothing smells good there.
All that smells like synthetic.
Yeah.
You
probably cooked it up in a lab.
It's like $4 and you got like 16 tacos though.
Yeah, and a bean burrito.
Yeah, eighth meal, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
Or even worse, those Jack in the Box tacos that are like, we don't even know what that stuff is inside of it.
Yeah, I don't know what. I heard it's tofu, actually.
Soy, yeah.
I heard soy tofu. Right.
But they're all like, all right, you know, you go there, you go to like Taco Bell and you get like 12 tacos and 2 bean burritos and it's like $4 or $5. And they're like, say, what, do you want to buy a soda? And like, not for $3.
Yeah.
Exactly. Give me a cup of water.
Yeah, that's where they make their money in the soda.
Well, it probably only cost them like 40 cents to fill up that can of soda, you know.
It's tough, you know, for these up and coming fighters, you know, like myself, or even at the pro level to eat clean.
Yeah.
Because it's, like I said, it's against.
Because it sucks.
It sucks. You know, for the most part, some of the stuff doesn't taste good. It's more expensive, you know.
Yeah. We always talk about that, too, how just cutting weight alone for a fight is expensive. So,
right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, we understand that a lot of guys go out there and look for sponsorships and stuff.
Right.
And I mean, I know it's hard and hard because it's almost like you're asking somebody for money, but.
Right.
I mean, you got sponsors, right? I think you got a couple sponsors, right?
Yeah, I do. Actually, I got fortunate enough to get a couple sponsors after the professional pancreas fight I had in March. So Louis Castaneda from Sniper Fightwear actually sponsors me now. You know, so
that's a dude who's got like a goatee, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's actually an Orange County local.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. I haven't met him personally yet, but yeah, definitely a cool guy.
Yeah. What's it called then?
Sniper Fightwear.
Oh, okay.
Sniper Fightwear.
Shout out to Sniper Fightwear.
Yeah. Shout out to Louis and Sniper Fightwear. Website sniperfw.com.
And who else is sponsoring you?
I've got another sponsor, Dr. Jason Rosano. He's a chiropractor, and he's been actually taking a lot of good care of me, actually. Adjustments, stuff like that, supplements actually too, and just health advice.
Taking the Cataplex B.
Yeah, exactly.
Are they selling you all that standard nutrition stuff, or what's that stuff the chiropractors they sell?
I don't know. He gives me a multivitamin and a glucosamine, stuff for my joints and stuff, you know.
You know those chiropractors, they always have all the supplements to you and everything. You know? What? You want a shameless plug?
No. Just, you know, just me and chiropractors, man.
You're chiropractors? Well, you don't believe in them?
I need to go to the Sobadora in the hood, dude. That's right.
There you go.
Yeah.
I got a Sobadora. She's like a $25 flat rate.
Really?
Yeah. She's like, put this towel in your mouth.
Hey, man, I've limped in, walked out, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I had to do that once for my ankle. Some lady just gave me a towel and she just popped my ankle back in place. It was my ankle or my shoulder, one of the two. But, you know, when you're in the hood, $10, you're like, good, golden. Yeah. I'm out of here.
That beats my lady's flat rate.
Yeah.
This was back in the day. That was my $10 copay right there. That was my HMO from the hood. So you got this chiropractor sponsoring you too?
Yes.
All right. What's his website?
His premierhealthcare.com, Dr. Jason Rosano. He's actually in Uptown Whittier.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right on.
What's he charge, I wonder?
You know what? I have no idea. He's going to his website. The prices are up there.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And I almost forgot that if anyone wants to call in and have any questions for our guest, you can call us up at 1-800-893-9562. We still got a little bit of time left in the show, so if you have any questions, you know, feel free to call in.
We got two down. What else you got? Any other sponsors?
No, as of now, no, nothing. I've got another clothing company that's, you know, interested at Knuckle Up Clothing. Uh-huh. So we're about to talk soon, see how that goes.
All right. And you got a fan page too on Facebook?
I do have a fan page, AdamToMMA.com or Facebook/, you know, AdamToMMA. So, that's coming out great. You know, a lot of people who knew I was fighting, but I guess it's never a reality till they watch you fight.
Yeah. Are you putting your videos up in there or you got a YouTube channel right or something, or what do you got?
Just one fight from YouTube is on there right now. My previous fight, the one that had a camo at the Commerce Casino, is up on YouTube, but I didn't upload it. I don't know who did.
So why don't you put it on there? You can or something or what?
It was up there, actually. It was up there, but now my latest one's up there now.
Oh, okay. Because I think one of them, our buddy Mike Beltran was your referee.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The first one.
Yeah. Oh, it was the first one? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Super cool guy too.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's friends with George Valdez. So, you know, he was awesome.
That's about everybody knows George Valdez.
Yeah, I think even the guys at Adrenaline in San Bernardino know of him because, you know, of the occasional smoker type thing. So
yeah,
he's a pretty well known guy.
Yeah, that's where I started training. I started training at Valdez in East LA.
Oh, okay, cool.
And actually, our coach Johnny Ramirez was his school started out of Valdez East LA also. He rented some mat space.
Oh, okay.
And he was training there and then until he moved into his own school.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so our academy started through Valdez. And looking around for schools, you know, George was like, hey, go check out little Johnny. And sure enough, I, you know.
Oh, cool.
Found my spot.
Yeah, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Because of George.
Small community.
Community. It's surprising that George actually won't grapple yet. He doesn't like it, you know?
He does not.
He does not like it one bit.
And
he won't do it at all?
At all.
No.
And he's kind of weird. I mean,
he's a striker.
He's a kickboxer, right?
Striker,
He's a world champion kickboxer. And he won't even, he keeps saying though, he goes, if I would have started back when I was supposed to, I would have been a black belt by now.
And
he always mentions that, you know, by now I would have been a black belt and, you know.
Definitely.
They've even offered him privates and
he won't do it.
No. He won't do it.
Who offered him privates?
Johnny.
Oh, really?
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, even when he was training us, you know, he'd be like, yeah, well, you know, you can do a cross and a kick and then, you know, set up a takedown or whatever you guys do.
Well, he'd always tell me, I go, well, how are you going to defend the shot? He goes, oh, I'll just defend the shot with elbows on the way in and this and that.
Elbows are a knee him up the middle.
Yeah, exactly.
You always wonder why they don't do that more often, but, you know,
it's
all
different.
Timing, too.
Yeah,
it's well,
timing, definitely.
Yeah, you get that knee up, you're going down.
Yeah, you know, there's some guys who, you know, they're tired or they throw their knee without proper technique, and it's easy to grab a leg and just, you know, easy ankle pick or well,
you
drop
know, you're always going to get those couch referees anyway, right?
Like, yeah, absolutely.
People look at a fight and be like, oh, why'd you do that?
Yeah.
Like, you get in there and you show me how to do
that. Yeah, exactly.
Right?
You know, a lot of things change.
Everything changes, really. You know, sometimes your game plan goes out the window and it's like you're sitting there trying to remember what to do. And
yeah, like my first fight, I don't think I could have told you. I can't remember anything my corner told me at all. Not the first or the second.
I could remember one thing they told you.
What was that?
They said, grab that dude's leg. And I was like, no.
So you said George cornered you your first fight, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he did. I heard George the whole time.
Did he do that? For you?
Oh, no.
No?
No.
I'll tell you off the air with that.
Oh, no.
George tells all his fighters that usually before when he quarters them.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you what that is.
Yeah, I did hear somebody tell you to grab his leg.
Yeah, you know, I actually, What happened in the second?
I lied, dude. The guy was either on the side of you or you were turtled up.
He had me in referee position.
Okay, and they told you to reach back and grab his leg is what they told you. And I said,
reach back.
Yeah.
I know I'm not supposed to reach back, but I got rocked. You know, he hit me with an overhand and then did a snap down, which is how he got me in referee's position.
Right.
Then all I could hear was, reach around. So I reached around. I know I'm not supposed to reach around.
I was like, no.
I gave him the hook. But, you know,
could have got a little crucifix set up there.
Yeah, exactly. A lot, you know, guy with more ground game.
That's a big dude, too, man.
He was a huge guy. He weighed in at like 305.
But like heavy, like.
Like big country 305?
Yeah. Like,
not like Quintero.
Yeah. And he was
not like Quintero.
He's older. I believe he's like 30, 31. So, you know, for me, I was 22 to be fighting a 30-year-old. It's a huge strength difference. You know, I had the height on him, but I didn't really start establishing my striking till the third round. Mm-hmm. You know, because I didn't want to get smashed under him again.
But I heard you guys were dropping some bombs in there,
though. Oh, yeah. We were throwing. I mean, I'm a striker. That's what I like to do. So in the first round, you know, he just kind of kept trying to tie me up, go for takedown. So I was just kneeing him off a clinch the whole time. The mm-hmm. second round, he came out super hot, you know, just charging me, and he caught me with an overhand.
And was it a ring or a cage you fought
in? It was a ring. I've actually only fought in rings so far.
Oh, really? But,
which is weird because I always train inside a cage at HB.
So you already got the technique down where you can use the cage, you get yourself up,
and
you've already trained all that stuff.
Yeah, which is weird when you're in a ring and someone goes for a takedown.
Is that a camel thing, just the ring?
No, because camel has cages too. Oh,
do they?
So I think it might just be the venue.
Yeah, venue.
Oh, really? Okay.
Actually,
I don't know why, though.
Card, because sometimes they split boxing and MMA in one night.
That makes sense.
The boxers box in a cage. That'd be pretty funny.
That would be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That takes away a whole aspect of their game. You can't corner anybody anymore.
That would be funny.
I don't see why. If we have to fight in their ring, I'm pretty sure they can fight in ours.
It's not like they use the rope anyway.
Yeah.
All you got to do next time you go to the rope, just fall out of the ring, dude.
Well, I wonder if it is, too, because of the shoes.
Oh, yeah, true.
Because of the shoes. I know that, you know, the mat's different inside the cage.
And actually, it's just
canvas.
Not all the time. Some mm-hmm. have, like, a slippery one. So if you get sweaty, you're going to slip.
Yeah.
And that there's also some... Most rings are canvas.
I've seen that a lot of people, especially King of the Cage, like Addis Ababa, it starts to rain out there.
Yeah, that's really old. They used to do that vinyl because they were able to press on the sponsorships on there, exactly. But they don't, I mean, they're going to use canvas now for any, right. Especially King of the Cage, now they're on TV and stuff, you know? They're going to use that canvas because it looks better and it prevents that stuff, like slipping.
Have you ever seen how the Thai guys, too, will put their ankle supports and they'll wet the bottom of their for traction? You ever seen them do that?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why they wear those ankle supports, and they get them wet so they can get traction.
Now they come with like rubber inserts.
Oh, I just thought everybody was into the 80s or something.
Oh, no, that's what it's for.
Adam's like, I wasn't even born.
late 80s baby over here.
Yeah. Right, so, what's the plan from you for now? I mean, are you going to keep looking to fight professional or?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, 2012 was actually going to be the year I established myself as an amateur fighter to become pro. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I got a fight in March. That fight just passed. And then I have another fight for sure on July 21st for the Professional Pancration League. It's called the Spartan League. They hold it out in like the Pala Casino, Aguascalientes area.
Uh-huh.
So it's out there. And that's my next fight. And it's for the finals, the championship against the Marine. It's kind of like the IFL almost, too. It's there. Everybody has a team.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's like IFL, BJJ, everything combined.
But so pancreation, is that one of the open hand strikes? Or the only thing is that?
Nothing to the face, right?
Yeah, but now that since they added the professional in front of it, it's a full-on fight with shin pads. You just can't knee to the head or elbow to the head.
You can't knee to the head or elbow the head.
Yes, okay. But you can jab, punch.
You get
a point for hitting to the head. You get like 3 points for a flush head kick.
Are you wearing shin pads?
Yes, you have to wear shin pads.
No headgear?
No headgear.
All right.
And MMA gloves.
A 4 ounce?
Yes.
That's not bad, though.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's like a full-on fight.
Yeah, some of those... Like the elbows to the head, I know they're allowed on some of the fights, especially in the guard, but man, they got to cut your head open bad.
Yeah, they're just cutters from what
I understand. It's just kind of messed up, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, elbows to the body are actually effective. A lot of people don't throw them, but they're pretty effective.
To the body?
Yeah, to the body.
Yeah.
And, I think we have a caller on the line. Do we have a caller? Hello, caller?
Yeah, you do. Hi.
Hi. Who's this?
Yeah, hi, Chris. Hi, Adam. This is Mike.
Mike.
Hey, yeah. Hi, Chris.
It's the guy from work. He's an old drill sergeant in the Marines.
Oh, Mike. How you doing?
Good, Adam. Hey, man. I just wanted to call in and wish you the best of luck in what you're doing, and compliment you guys on your show. This is really interesting. Really, really good show.
Oh, thank you very much, Mike.
I didn't recognize you without yelling, Mike.
Yeah.
Nah, just kidding.
But I did have a couple questions for Adam, if that's cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Adam, I was wondering, when you go into a fight, do you have like a really well-thought-out plan, or you just kind of let instinct and training take over?
Absolutely. I mean, we train the 6 to 8 weeks on a set plan. You know, we watch tape on the guy if we can, or we find out what style he has, and we try to taper the training to that. So, you know, I go in thinking, okay, you know, I got to move, I got to jab, or I got to go take down, you know. But then sometimes when you get in the ring and your game plan doesn't seem to work, then instinct just kind of takes over. So it's kind of, okay. It kind of goes out to how well you can establish what you train to what actually happens.
All right. Well, that kind of leads into the really other question. That's just, you know, lots of different styles in the martial arts and everything else. And I was wondering if there's any styles you don't like to face, or if there's some that that you do like to face that you think you own from the beginning.
You know what, I like the striking game. I have a lot of fun there. You know, like I said earlier, George Valdez trained me, so it's a lot of fun being a striker. So anytime I get a guy who's always going to look to slip a punch to take me down the whole time and then just hold me there is obviously someone I'm not going to like to fight. Not because it's a difficult fight, because it's more frustrating than anything to find a rhythm.
Okay. Well, good. Okay, again, hey, great show, you guys. And Adam, absolute best of luck to you, man.
Awesome. Thank you very much,
Hey, Mike. Get that kata in, man. I know that black belt's coming.
I did this afternoon, man.
All right. Just making sure.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Have a good one.
And looks like we're getting a little close to the end of our show. Before we go, one more time, let's throw out all your websites and all your contact out there for anyone who wants to get your next fight.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name's Adam Tua, last name's T-U-A, and my Facebook fan page is www.facebook.com/AdamTuaMMA. I train at the Huntington Beach Ultimate Training Center. My two sponsors, I have Sniper Fightwear, sniperfw.com. And then Premier Healthcare with Dr. Jason Rosano's chiropractic out of Uptown Whittier. And yeah, so it's...
All right. And then the next fight for sure you said was...
July 21st. July 21st. I'm going to try to squeeze one in between, depending on, you know, how well the injury heals up.
Okay, great. Well, make sure you post that on our Facebook page so we can put it out there. Anyone out there listening, you want to check out Adam in the next fight, you know, stay tuned to our Facebook page.
Yeah, or I think you go to, I guess if they want to come by your gym too, right?
Absolutely. Come on by. Like,
we talked about all the pros at Huntington Beach Ultimate.
Right.
But I'm sure they take people off the street and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. If you want to just come in and train there, you know, come in for a free day. I think, you know, you come in, we'll let you train for free, try out different classes. We have an MMA class.
Dude, let's get our tap out shirts and go, Rich.
There you go. Hey, I still got my Tito Ortiz flame shorts at home.
Oh, bring them. Bring the beanie too if you have it.
Definitely, if not to go train, at least check out a little bit of MMA history in that gym. And
yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of history there. And if you walk in on any given day, you're bound to see someone, you know, you've seen on TV before. So even if you're not wanting to train just to go check out the atmosphere, it's really a something.
There you go. There you go.
And then we're going to sponsor you by giving you $1.
Oh, thank you very much.
You have three sponsors.
Now he's now a professional fighter.
You got $1 from Mad Time Radio. But you got to put a big old Skid Row Studios logo on your shorts.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll put that on the whole backside of my
shorts.
Jeremy
will give you $1, so now you got $2.
Thank you, Skid Row Studios and Mad Time Radio.
$2. Can't even buy a coffee. But you don't need coffee because you're cutting weight. You can definitely buy X-Lax for $2.
Sure, let's do it.
Oh, dude, stay away from that stuff.
I can buy lettuce for $2, right?
You probably, I don't know. Depends.
Oh, man.
If you go to Food for Less, you can probably get like 16 heads of lettuce for $1.
Or maybe even a veggie bowl from Flame Broiler, maybe.
Oh, yeah. You get a side of chicken for $3, so I'm short.
Where?
A Flame Broiler.
No way, yeah. Yeah.
Side of chicken.
You should
fries.
Know. You eat there all the time.
Yeah, but I don't, I mean, I go there and it's expensive because they're like, I got to get white meat only, then I got to get brown rice.
Yeah, it's expensive.
And sometimes I get no rice, and they charge you extra for all veggies.
Only? Yeah.
Like, dude, 60 cents?
I guess they don't like you, dude. They don't charge me extra for all veggies.
I don't get the little mini bowl, dude.
Oh, okay, I get the mini bowl.
I get the regular bowl.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I actually start eating the mini bowls and they fill me up, but I stay away from the rice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I like to eat just veggie.
Yeah, rice has always been like a huge staple in my diet for some reason, but it's hard cutting it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Or maybe you got to try Krail's rice tacos after.
Yeah.
Dude, rice tacos sounds so good.
Yeah. Let me get this next fight out the way and I'll have a rice taco.
Rice taco in a Dorito taco shell.
There you go.
With some Tapatio hot sauce. Now we're talking, right?
Oh, also quick shout out to the city of Maywood, the 5-2 block. Huge support and fan base.
5-2 block.
The 5-2 block, right behind the Maywood Boxing Club. People know where it's at.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a lot of guys out here from Maywood Boxing Club.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen you go there.
Big shout out to all them Samoan people in your family.
Yeah, absolutely. That's where they're at, the 5-2 block. That's it. Over there. Every day.
And your dad and your mom.
Yeah, my mom and
your
dad.
Sister.
And my sister. Big.
Who else we're missing?
Awesome.
Oh, all my uncles, I go to all my fights, definitely. Any family and friends have gone out to all my fights, you know, especially all the ones that were at my first one. You know, I had like 30, 35 people there. So everybody that was at my first fight, you know, I'm definitely never going to forget that.
And also shout out to my cousin Jimmy, training out in Ground Control in Baltimore, Maryland. Just, you know, keep training, buddy, and I hope to see you back here soon.
Yeah, shout out to your cousin Jimmy, training.
Yeah, he got bitten by the bug, so now he's out there doing his thing in Ground Control. So he's getting his, you know, MMA fix and
cool.
What the hell? Since we're doing shout out to Jeremy.
Yeah, Jeremy. Yay, Jeremy.
Yeah. Shout out to Sonya too. She's been on her ear. She's like, what? You're talking about me.
So, Krail, do we got anything else before we go?
No, man. That's it, man. I just.
Who do we have next week?
It's a surprise. I got to confirm, but I don't know yet.
Okay.
Thanks
okay,
for putting well, then everybody stay Thanks tuned. For putting me on the spot, Rich. Check our Facebook page.
Yeah, stay tuned to our Facebook page and we'll let everybody know who's coming on. And
we're going to go look for Brady and Jose Navarro, who didn't make it.
Oh, I'm going to go find Brady right now. He should be at the Nokia Center.
Well, we're going to go look for him.
Yes.
Brady, what's his nickname?
Hold Funky. On.
Funky. All right.
Funky Brady?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, it's Funky Pink.
All right, man. But hey, thanks for coming through.
Yeah, thank you for having me, guys.
Thanks for your buddy over there at Huntington Beach Ultimate for letting you come through.
Yeah, absolutely. Shout out to TV Gosling for that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
All right, man.
And all right, everybody, until next week. You know, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
All right. Krail out.